with Kevin Montague. His book is called The Master's Key to Unlocking and Mastering Chronic Disease. We're going to get into his second near-death experience. And then all of this, of course, had a profound effect on him where he wrote this book. And we'll have him talk about that as well. And welcome back. George Norrie with you. Kevin Montague with us. So, Kevin, you're released from the hospital after this sausage bout, but then it looks like it comes back or something.
Right. For the next 3 years, I went through complications like you wouldn't believe. About 45-plus major complications developed from this thing, and it was eluding the doctors.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they didn't have any idea what was going on. I wound up having surgery on my knee, extensive rectal surgery, and they didn't understand what formed. These hemorrhoids were the size of walnuts that had formed, and they couldn't figure that out right away either. I had surgery done on my heart because I had what are called two SVTs, supraventricular tachycardias. The new radio frequency ablation had just been perfected for my particular type of problem, so I didn't have to wear a pacemaker. And there's a whole bunch of other things that happened to my body until finally I found myself in my primary care physician's office, Dr. Nechemiah Peleg, and he came into the exam room that day. I still remember this day when he gently closed the door quietly and he looked at me and he said, "Kevin, there's nothing more Western medicine can do for you. You're dying. We don't know what's killing you."
Oh, my God.
I suspect maybe on the average you got 6 months to live like a cancer patient would, but we can't figure this thing out. So he said he was going to cancel his bill because he didn't think it was fair to charge me since he couldn't help me. And I left that office scared, actually terrified, because I didn't know. It's not that I was afraid of death. It's just there were things I still wanted to do.
Sure.
I went down into my car, and I prayed to our Lord, and I said, "What's going on? You know, what is this? What did you send me back for if you're going to put me through all of this?" And
That's a good question.
Yeah. So I drove home, and it just continued to get worse. Finally, I found myself on my living room floor one Sunday afternoon, and I was totally out of energy completely. I was going into a coma, and I knew it. And I couldn't get up. I had no strength in my body. And I started to slip into what seemed like a moment of darkness as I closed my eyes. And suddenly I hear this beautiful female voice say, "Rise up. Your healing is waiting for you." And I opened my eyes real quick because I was trying to get up the strength to go to this nutrition store, you know. Healthy Discounts, yeah.
On Van Nuys or GNC or something like that.
Yeah, well, there was one I liked to go, which was the one on Van Nuys Boulevard. I knew them.
There's a great one on Ventura up that way, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to go look sometime. But back then, Healthy Discounts was there. So, George, it took me an hour to finally find the strength to lift my body up.
Oh, my God, Kevin.
And I finally, I felt like I was outside of my body carrying it. That's how it felt to me, because I was totally disconnected from everything. I was so dead, literally. And so I got in my car, and I drove down Van Nuys Boulevard, and I'm sitting there humming, going, "I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to my healing." You know? And finally, I got to the store. I walked in. Normally, the store doesn't have anybody in it, but it had quite a few people. And I went over to the tinctures, so I wanted to check one of the herbal tinctures.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the volume of every voice in the store is lowered as though someone took a master volume knob and lowered every voice. And all I could hear was this man talking to this woman. And she was chewing him out, and he was trying to say, "Madam, look, I can help you. You've got parasites in your body. Just let me work with you." And she says, "I don't have parasites." She's like 55 years old, and
yeah.
She's immaculately dressed and everything else, and she just thought that was the most worst insult she could ever receive from somebody, but she was sick. But I gravitated towards this man because 2 weeks previous, I was in the Tarzana ER. I had visited every hospital in the San Fernando.
Everybody knew you in these hospitals,
oh, yeah.
Didn't they?
They had records on me. And 2 weeks previous, I finally got a doctor because I had one of the complications I had were all these spasms behind my ribcage area that would never stop, and they drove me crazy. And they went on for like 2 years. And this doctor comes in and says, it sounds like you've got costal chondritis. I said, what's that? Well, it happens when parasites get into the body. All of a sudden, the word parasites rang a bell. I said, my God, I haven't heard one doctor mention that in all the doctors that I've gone to. So when I heard this woman mention the word when he mentioned the word parasites, I made the connection. I said, the doctor said 2 weeks ago, parasites, let me talk to this.
Yeah, and that's what you got from the sausage a couple of years before that.
Yeah, but we didn't know that yet.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I get into one of the aisles there because you couldn't talk about this stuff as doctors. They go ballistic. They're so disconnected from so much in medicine. The whole medical system's disconnected. So anyway, this is man's name is Dr. Rick Santee. He's a naturopath doctor. In fact, he wrote a book I have on my website called Prostate Relief Now. This is a magnificent doctor. He travels all over the world helping people. He's in the Caribbean these days getting people well. And there's
okay.
a reason why he's there because of what happened to him here. But anyway,
licensing, no doubt, probably.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he says to me, he said, you ever had a live cell blood exam done? And I said, no. I said, I don't even know what it is, and I've studied microscopy,
mm-hmm.
Since I was a kid. I used to have my own microscope. And he said, I'll show you. And so we set up a time. I was wearing a Holter monitor because they were trying to radio control, watching my heart, waiting for something to happen from the spasms going on in my ribcage. But they couldn't find anything. So anyway, I get into meet with Mr. Santee, and I get to see what a live cell blood exam is. And, George, when we looked at that blood exam, even though every single serum blood exam said I was fine, I was looking at my blood, and it was a disaster. All of my cells were chained together. They were anemic. There's a little guy called the somatid inside the blood that doctors don't really talk about, and it was discovered by Gaston Nason's a while back. And that little guy is going into its pleomorphic cycles, which turns into spores, bacteria.
And you had them all over the place.
And these things were well active. And I revealed this in the Master's Key, these things are not supposed to happen until you're dead. It's a transformation of the body from its animal life.
You were like the Walking Dead.
Yeah, exactly. And people who are in this condition, who have CFS, fibromyalgia, and the rest, are among the Walking Dead. Because this entire process, which I call the CDSPD process, is active in their bodies while they're alive. And they're supposed to be a corpse when it's active, not alive. And it can go on for years, and eventually it fully develops into cancer. And I show this in the Master's Key. I have documented case studies showing people so they can see the proof for themselves. And the reasoning in the Master's Key is so tight with the science, it's going to get people well because they're going to read it and take control of their own health. But I also encourage them to work with their Western doctors because they're going to need some of the things that Western medicine can offer. But you also need all these other sciences, whether it's herbal, whether it's bioelectrical, whether it's nutritional, on and on goes the list. But you have to know how to work it integratively to totally redefine the biological terrain and save your life. Now, I didn't know all of that back then. I had always been studying everything in science, including medical.
And one quick question. Was the dog okay from the episode?
No. Unfortunately, by the time I learned the knowledge I did, I had to put her down.
Okay.
She was covered in tumors. I learned volumes watching her. And she was covered in tumors, and I said, oh, my God, if I hadn't figured this out when I did, that would have been me.
That's right. That's
covered
exactly
in all those
right.
tumors. And the poor little thing could hardly walk. Mm-hmm. She was so brave, she'd hardly ever whimper. And when I finally took her to her vet, he said, that's it. She's 14 years old. He was amazed I got her to 14. And this is with all these tumors on her body.
But the sausage did her in.
Yeah. But I also put her on a program that was lengthening her life considerably. I just couldn't master the tumors because I hadn't learned that yet
okay. In
all my research work. And now what I know is incredible. So anyway, I had to put her down, and I cried profusely because it was my dad's dog. And I held my father in my hands when he took his last breath, dying of liver cancer. So it was like another part of my dad dying when she died. So So anyway, going back to, spot check me. Where was I?
Well, you were out of the hospital. The doctor was talking to you about, the Santee was talking to you about, something holistic?
Gotcha, yeah. So anyway, we did the live cell, and I got to see what was really going on with my body. I was basically decomposing while I was alive, but at a more rapid rate than most people do. And that's the best way to try to explain part of this process. But the other thing that's interesting about the process is that how the body has about six different ways it converts itself, the cells, into microplant life forms. And the reason why it does this is it's getting the body ready to grow in the soil. In other words, in the conservation of energy theory, and what I'd learned in the light, since the whole thing is God's energy, nothing is ever lost. So in order to conserve that energy on the earth, there's a series of algorithms, programming language, by which the cells simply convert into a new life form that can survive in the soil. It's very logically done. And but you're not supposed to do it while you're alive. Because if you
do... It happens after you're dead.
Yeah, it happens after you're dead. But if it happens while you're alive, you wind up with new parasites in your system created by your body. Aha, see? And if doctors don't know to look for this, they'll treat you incorrectly, or they'll diagnose you as being insane or crazy or whatever, and that's just because they're lacking in knowledge. And the master's key is to help teach both doctors and patients all this knowledge so they can work with together and get the patients well. And I want the doctors to learn all of this because, like you said, this is like the next 40 years we're going to walk into, because I show how machines can be made that will get rid of cancer, say, in minutes, that will shrink tumors in minutes, that will clear the body of everything, say, in an hour's time. And it's advanced physics next to the way this world thinks for the most part. And I'm just starting really to explore that, and I'm having breakthroughs this last year of how the technology can be done. I don't know if I'll complete it in this lifetime, but I'm writing it down as I go along with the hope that if I don't do it, someone else will get a hold of it and finish it for me. So,
unless you go the way of Tesla and they take his records and nobody ever knows what happened to them.
And that's why I never went to the FDA or the AMA with this knowledge. I'm fully aware of what's going on in the United States. You know, you make discoveries like this, you love the sciences. Well, you know, by the time, if you go that route, they'll just take the whole thing away and lock it up. And, you know, and then threaten you. That's what they did with Dr. Santee. They had a person visit Dr. Santee that went to the filed a complaint against the drug company, saying that Dr. Santee wasn't using drugs to get people well. He was totally opposed to drugs. And when you read The Master's Key, you'll find out why, in terms of the logic of how the whole thing works. So as a result, the sheriffs came in one day and pulled their guns on this gentleman.
Oh, my God.
I know. It freaked him out. And wrestled, put him on the ground, handcuffed him, took him in, and put him in jail. And, George, all he was doing was getting people well. He never hurt anybody. I got to see the live cells of others, and they were fabulous to see. I couldn't, but you see these horrible adulterated bodies and blood samples, and all of a sudden they're clean, they're normal, and this is what this man was doing.
Jeez.
So I finally attended. I was in a lot of pain in my lower back because I had tumors that formed in my lower back. I finally shrank those using ozone injections. And I went down to the Van Nuys courtroom where he was to have his arraignment, and the FDA never showed up.
So they let him go, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Well, you know what happened? They were afraid. He told me this. He said they were afraid if he got on that witness stand and revealed all he knew, they were out of business. And he revealed that to a federal judge, you know. The federal judge doesn't care about the FDA or the AMA because nobody's above the law. That's the way they think. And so they never showed up. I was there to give testimony to tell what this man had done, and I brought evidence. And they never had. But what I did do, I already had about 123 pages written of the new book that became The Master's Key, and I handed a copy to Dr. Santee. And said,
was this based on his life, your book?
No. It's the book is pure science. It's everything I do is to explore. This is not my remedy for chronic disease. These are absolute laws and truths that I reveal in the Master's Key. He knew some of it, but he didn't know as much as I eventually learned as I explored this whole thing. In fact, at one point on the phone we were talking, he said, I kept asking him questions. He said, Kevin, I don't know the answer to that one. You're in virgin territory as far as I'm concerned. But keep up the good work because you're doing stuff nobody on the face of the earth has ever done. And you're getting answers that nobody has done. He said, stay in contact with me. I said, I will. When I have questions, I'll give you a call. So anyway, he continued negotiating with the FDA, and they told him basically to get out of the country because he was bad for business. That's why he's living over in the Caribbean these days.
Like that Hoxie case, that he's in Tijuana now or something.
Right, yeah, a lot of them are. Hulda Clark had to go to Mexico, her book, The Cure for All Diseases. I have all of her books. Her books are fabulous, actually.
Is Santee still alive?
Yes, he is. And okay. I just got talking. I talked to him all the time. We were just exchanging emails yesterday and the day before. And he says he's decided to come out of hiding because he was talking to a very enlightened man who was talking to him. And he said his name is Rick Santee. He said, Rick, if you have this incredible knowledge, then you have to give it to the, you have to go out to the world and bring it in. Otherwise, you're going to make yourself sick if you don't do what your divine purpose is for being on the earth. And that's what he told me in his recent email. So he says he's going to be working to help promote the Master's Key in his book, Prostate Relief Now. And he thinks my book is incredible when he read it. George, what I'm trying to say is, even though I suffered horribly through all of this, both physically, mentally, and emotionally, every time somebody reads the Master's Key, I get an email like you wouldn't believe praising the holy heck out of the darn book.
Well, good for you. We're going to take calls with you at the half. But let's get into how this, I assume somewhere around this point, the second near-death experience occurred, right?
Right.
And did you see the same thing, the vision of Jesus? Did that happen again for you?
Well, I died in my bed and traveled to his heaven this time. And I'll explain a little more how that works in the light when we talk about it.
And, well, we've got a couple minutes before the break, actually.
Oh, so, we do.
Yeah,
okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, all right. Well, then I'll start it. What happened was, since I went into the 45-plus major complications, I was lying in my bed one afternoon, and it got so bad, all of a sudden I could feel death coming on.
Oh, God.
And death has its own unique feeling when it comes over your body. And I said, oh, this is it. And I looked at the clock. I can't remember if it was 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was somewhere around there. And I took a look at the clock, and slowly I closed my eyes, and it got dark for just a moment. Then I opened my eyes again. And I looked at the clock, and I said, I guess I'm not going to die. I feel fine. And all of a sudden I realized, George, I wasn't lined up with my body. I was in a different sort of position, and I was passing through my body. And I knelt up on the bed, because I told you everything's interdimensional, on my knees, looked down at my dead body, and right over my head above the baseboard of my my bed was this huge portal, similar like the one I saw when I was in the light with a fuzzy edge around it, but it had like a pink color to the edge. And I knew to travel through it, so I leaped. I had no pain or anything. I felt great. So I felt fabulous, actually. So I went from this hellish pain state and jumped through the portal, traveled through space, and found the other portal that I had seen at age 25. And I traveled into that portal, and I went deeper into the light this time because I knew that the light had all these chambers in it, not just our universe, but all the different heavens from all the different planets. The number would be astronomical, I mean like a Googleplex of heavens inside of the light, one for every planet that has sentient life on it.
Hold on, Kevin. Let's come back and pick that up from there, and then we'll take phone calls when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with Kevin Montague. Our final segment here is we talk about his book, The Master's Key to Unlocking and Mastering Chronic Disease. At what point, Kevin, after these two near-death experiences, did you have that epiphany to write the book?
A miracle happened that's connected to that. I was working on a chat board. Well, what happened was I was sitting at the computer, and I asked our Lord if he could show me people that were suffering from the same thing I was. Suddenly, my computer screen glitched without me touching it, and I'm looking at this chat board called healthyawareness.com. So I started joining in on the conversations on there, and boy, was I learning a lot, because these people were going through similar to what I was going through, and their doctors had no answers. So I started teaching on that board, and I was getting people well. In fact, Kelly Rainmaster, who used to run that board, contacted me one day and said, you're doing a marvelous job. I got people calling me all over the place telling me they're getting well because they're listening to what you're telling them what to do. I said, good, that's great. That's what I'm here for. So anyway, one day when I was on the chat board, I asked everyone if I should write a book. It seemed like there was so much to teach.
Sure.
And
natural.
Yeah, you know, and I thought, how am I going to do this? And so I asked. I got 120 people say, yeah, write a book. And that I didn't want to write a book. That's a lot of work to do what was being asked. So I bowed my head. I said a prayer to our Lord, and I said, you know, I said, I don't want to write a book. You already interrupted me when I was working on the million-dollar bank game. I was inches close to becoming a multimillionaire, and you interrupted this by throwing this at me. I said, what about the money, Jesus? You know, I'm not a rich man. How are we going to do all of this? So I gave him my complaints. And I had usually kept TBN, Trinity Broadcasting, on in the background, just listening. You know, if there was a program I really liked, I would just turn the volume up. Otherwise, I kept it low. And there was this black man talking to this very plump Mexican gal, sweet gal. And all of a sudden, when I finished that prayer to our Lord, which is more lengthy than I just gave you, she stops in the middle of their talk and she says, wait a minute. She says, there's a man who has just prayed asking our Lord whether or not he should write the book.
Jeez.
I know. And it happened instantly. It was so timed. I said, whoa. And I said, all of a sudden she says, our Lord wants me to tell you, write the book, and he will take care of the marketing. Because I thought, you know, I'm not a powerhouse. I'm not a corporation. And so I still was having problems with other parts of my body. So I stood up in the chair going off to bed, and I said, forget it. I'm going to go to bed. And as I stood up, I said, oh, yeah, you're right, Lord. You'll take care of the marketing. What, posthumously after I'm dead? You know?
Using my
sense of humor on him, because given all that I had been through, I thought, I'm never going to make it through all of this. George, I'm surprised I'm where I am right now, having conquered and mastered so much that I did.
And you sound healthy.
I sound good. I still have some trauma areas to my body. I'm going in for a biopsy on the 3rd of December. They want to check my back. Three doctors are curious why there's the surrounding area where the herniated disc is in my back that happened through all of this is causing me pain. We're going to try to get to
that. All right. Well, we're going to put a little prayer in for you. Let's take some calls here, Kev, and then you can tell people how we can get your book. Amy in Oklahoma, welcome to the program. Hi, Amy.
Hi, George. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Amy.
It's good to speak with y'all. Hey, I heard you talk about a certain substance in the blood that you found. What was that called, and how do you spell it?
Oh, it's the Somatid, Somatid. There were other men.
I have a fibromyalgia.
Yeah. So
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, fibromyalgia, CFS are connected with this, but there's a lot more. It's not just the Somatid, because even the cells will turn into microplant life forms called protists. This would be an education for those who have leukemia. When the Somatid and the cells turn into their microplant life forms, that's what forms leukemia. All the red cells disappear, and all you got are all these microplant cells in the blood, and you can't transport oxygen or take out the toxins out of the body unless you got red cells, erythrocytes, doing the work for you.
That's right.
Yeah, so it's real simple to understand how it works. In fact, some of the people I've helped, their doctors were so confused because their blood looked like it was riddled with leukemia, and I got them well. And all of a sudden, there's red blood cells there, and they're scratching their heads saying, you can't do this.
Do you use special devices like the Reich machine or anything like that?
No, I'll tell you, if you used nothing more than the Bob Beck blood electrifier and colloidal silver, and you did that for probably about a year, even if you didn't clear everything else in your body, meaning your filters, your liver, your kidneys, the cell membranes, everything, you would transform your blood from anemic-looking to whole, wholesome blood. It would clean the blood completely, and you don't need a blood transfusion to do it.
And I bet that would clean yourself up of a lot of issues.
Well, once the blood is fully functional, then it can start to minister to the body. You know, in Leviticus, was it 17:11, it says the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, as a scientist and also a man who believes in our Lord, I took that to heart when I was doing this work, because as I was exploring everything in live cell microscopy, I said, God, this is really important. You've got to clean the blood first. You got to get that done, and then the blood can start to say to all the other cells, hey, I'm here to help. What do you need?
Next up, Diamond in New York. Welcome to the program. Hi, Diamond.
Good morning, George, and God bless you too, your guests.
Thank you.
I have three questions, and I know we don't have much time, so let me just fire away. When you were in the chat room and you were healing all these people, 120 people were getting healed by what you were teaching them, why were you healed? That's one. Two, I would love to know what Jesus actually looked like, because he put his arm around you, and I would love to know, since you spoke to him face-to-face, what he really looked like. And number three, really, I still want to know why your mother beat you so. Because if you were a prodigy, or you said, like, you know, you had symptoms or an appearance of autism and she didn't understand or whatever, what was it that was causing her to hit you? So those are my three questions.
Okay.
And I love the show. It's very interesting. Thank you.
All right. We'll start with the first one. And why could you not at that point heal yourself?
Because I was to go through everything everyone goes through collectively. I mean, if you put all the people together, whether they've got just chronic fatigue or just have fibromyalgia, no, I got hit with it all to the point where it killed me. And the reason why God wanted me to experience that is so I would understand all of you and have compassion for you to do this work to reveal the knowledge that all of you have been hoping for. He heard the prayer, but he sends miracles into the world in the form of people like myself, and we come to help. That's what I was saying. I was going to say, with those two other planets that I saw in the light, I was so advanced, I was assigned here for this specific hour to help our world, because we're in crisis right now with all the diseases and cancers predicted to be, you know, one out of two people by the year 2026. Now, the other question is, what did he look like? Well, when I was looking straight at him, all I could see was this blazing ball of light, and the light just sort of pulled you in, like it was a tunnel sucking you into his face. But the light rays were connected. They're connected to every one of us. It's like a giant neural network.
I mean, did he look like the pictures we've always seen him depicted as?
In this particular case, when he turned to his profile side, when he was talking to one of the other masters, I could see his hair was brown, okay? I could see his face. I'd have to say there's really no picture here that I can equate to that really come close, but he has a unique look. And I'm not a very good artist when it comes to drawing stuff. All I can tell you is I recognize, in fact, when I was in heaven, I saw him even closer, and he had the beard and he had the hair and everything. And but I don't know if I could draw him, but his face is so incredibly beautiful, you can't take your eyes off of him. That's what I was trying to say when you're in the light. The third question was, why did my mother beat me? I always wondered why she did.
Uh-oh.
I was this little quiet boy.
Did your father ever try to intervene?
He never knew. Not until I was about age 10. And I remember talking to my dad one night before he did die, and he said, you know, when I found out your mother was beating you, he said, that was the first time I wanted to kill her. And he's not that kind of man. He's a gentle, kind man, but he was, you know, the very fact that someone would touch a hair on my head, because I was like the fair-haired child.
Was there a time, Kevin, you didn't even want to come home from school or something?
Oh, yeah. All the time.
It was that bad.
It got worse and worse as I got older to age 10. Then they finally got divorced. She wanted the divorce.
At what point did she stop because you got too big?
Well, she stopped when the divorce happened. She originally got custody of me and my brother by lying to the judge, saying my dad was beating me. And I knew that was a lie. She was the one beating me, but they didn't bring me into court to testify. Finally, during one of my experiments in the apartment, I burned down our Christmas tree. And she had to transfer us over to my dad's care. And I think that was the smartest, wisest thing that possibly could have happened, because she lied to the judge anyway. And through some miracle, I burned outside of the apartment and got sent to my dad. And my brother did, too. And he was the best thing that both of us could have had. And I got away from the beatings that way.
Before we go to final calls, how do people get your book, The Master's Key?
Well, they can go to my website. It's called ksfmenterprises.com. That's my name. Kevin Frederick Francis Montague. Francis was my confirmation name in the Catholic Church.
Is that Scottish?
Montague is actually, it starts in Sweden, believe it or not.
Oh, does it? Really? Okay.
You know, Swedish, Netherlands, they migrated down into England, got involved in the Battle of Hastings, and the English slapped the E on the end and it became Montague. Then they came over here and caused trouble.
All right, and we got a link for your website as well. Let's go to Annie in Alabama. And Annie, before we get your question, you were on with me last week. You started coughing. We couldn't get you back. What happened?
Someone made an attempt on my life by treating the grapes in the supermarket with sulfite, which to everybody except those that are not sensitive to it, is a deadly poison.
Oh, my God.
Unless you happen to not be sensitive to it.
We have environmental disease.
I was calling about that again tonight for you, Kevin. It's in a lot of anesthesia. It's in medications. It's in anesthetics. It's in pills. It's in supplements. It's in food. It should be illegal. The people need to go to the electric chair because they've killed thousands of people with sulfite.
I understand.
It's in processed meats, too, I think.
Yeah. There's so much in our food, from benzene to toluene and so many other things that are used to sanitize the containers and boxes of products. And we're getting it into our bodies when we buy these things. There's nothing on the face of the earth that isn't polluted. Nothing at all.
It's everywhere. Let's go to Jim, the Big Island of Hawaii. Hey, Jimmy, go ahead.
Hey, I'm really fascinated by your childhood. I had a really tough one. And it's leading to end-of-life issues wherein, you know, I finally got thrown off the back porch and crushed everything in my cervical spine. Yeah, and it's leading to a lot of stuff that's serious. I mean, you know, disc degeneration, ischemia, brain ischemia. Yeah, a host of other stuff.
But that's all trauma to the body. Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, and I'm getting massage and different things, and I'm meeting all these people that are being led into me, and it's as if God is just pouring out help and getting me through it. But I'm connected also with a lot of young men and women that are in deep trouble, and I feel that I'm helping a lot of people.
Good for
and
you.
And I want to live longer for that, you know, just for that purpose alone. And for instance, the Master's Key help me to deal with these issues, extend life, and do God's work on earth?
Well, in the Master's Key, I reveal exams that have to be done by your Western medical doctor, but he won't know how to read the exams. I know how to read it. Dr. Santee does. Another man named Dr. Robert Young, who works in the Caribbean, knows how to read them to see if the chronic disease process is active inside of your body. If there's trauma to the body, that's a different issue, because medicine's divided into congenital chronic disease and trauma issues. My focus and specialty is on the chronic disease process, non-congenital, non-environmental chronic disease. So, if you have physical damage to your body, if surgery can be done, and that's questionable, if it'll give you better life, then Western medicine can help you. But if there's other issues going on inside of your body, given that I can tell your voice is older, so because you're older, it's likely you have the process active right now in your body as well. And clearing all that up will help you a great deal try to deal with the other problems going on that are traumatically related.
And Kevin, Robert Young, is that the same Robert Young they went after?
Yes.
The PH Miracle guy.
Right? Yeah, he's...
Is he out now?
I think it's the same one. I'm trying to think back.
It's got to be.
Yeah, I think so.
It's got to be. All right, my friend, we're the clock has got us, Kevin, but you keep in touch with us, and good luck with the book, The Master's Key, okay?
Thank you.
That's Kevin Montague and his website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Banal, George Knapp, and Ian Punnett, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.